How I spend my time is more important than how I spend my money. Money mistakes I can correct, but time is lost. Time lost is gone forever. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly with the Dean. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, with the Instant Inspiration. Got a little ahead of myself there. How I spend my time is more important than how I spend my money. Money mistakes I can correct, but time lost is gone forever. Well, I'm going to be an antagonist here. Time is never lost. This is what the humans say. Time is lost forever. And we're talking about divine beings here. Us divine beings never lose time. All we do is live in the now. And the now, in the first place, second place, and third place, is timeless. So, if the now is timeless, and that's what we live in is a now, then what are they saying here? Time lost is gone forever. Well, how many of you have read Illusions by Richard Bach? Okay, you all got your hands up. Now you put them down. Boy, what a noise. 2,000 hands going down like that. My goodness. Richard Bach went to see Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid with Donald Cimoda. And Richard Bach had seen Butch Cassidy a number of times. And as he went in this time, Donald Cimoda wasn't really interested in going in. But he went in with Richard. And then, just about at the end, Donald Cimoda says, "Come on, let's go." And Richard says, "No, I haven't seen the rest of it." "You've seen it many times. Why do you have to see the whole thing through?" "Well, I got to find out." "What do you mean, find out? You know already what's going to happen. You've seen the show many times." But. And Donald Cimoda, who is the reluctant messiah in the book written by Richard Bach, he said, "You know, Richard, if you would stop and consider that all of life is like a film, it's like a strip of film, and each little stop, each little film slide, each separate picture is an is. And you can take the strip at any point and rearrange it. You can take people out of out of place and put them somewhere else. And you can have the film starting at the front or the back or the middle or the end. You can do anything you want because it's your show. And it's your film. You bought the film. You own it. And you can rearrange it in any way you want. Put the end at the beginning." And of course, that's true. Because life is just a series of is. Of is-is, but of is. And if we take the beginning and put it at the end, and the end put it in the middle or something like that, who's going to know it? We'll say, that doesn't seem like it arrived out of that logical sequence. I'm choked on that one. Doesn't seem like it arrived out of that logical sequence, right? Who says it has to be logical? Who says it has to have a sequence? When you're dealing in absolute, each is an is, and each has no perspective or respection to some other location. Now, so long as we want to play our relative role, and so long as we want to be relative, then we want to be logical. Because if we're not logical, we go crazy. If we are not sequential, chronological, moving from step to step to step to step, then the chronology is wrong. Now, Christina, what would you do if your father died before you were born? I mean, and I don't mean only a day or two or a week or a month, but no. What would you do if your father died, because the film was rearranged, let's say 3 years before you were born.
Get a new father.
No. In your logical way, it would seem improper, wouldn't it? It'd be, see, but now, in today's philosophy, that's not a problem. Why is it not a problem?
All time is now.
All time is now, but why is it not a problem?
All time is now.
Because he could leave his sperm in the sperm bank.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yes.
All right, now, why didn't you say that? Why didn't you think of that?
Well, I wasn't
That's logical.
I would just
That's
live
logical.
and
Oh,
be
you
born.
speak your word and be pregnant, huh?
And I'm born like this.
What do you think you are, Mary?
No, I'm born. You're speaking of me, of
Oh,
Christina.
you're being born.
Since
I
I'm
see.
born like that.
Oh, I see. You're born like that. That's
Since
nice.
you
But
jumped out of a lotus flower.
and don't laugh.
Right?
That's right.
Don't laugh. Okay, so
See?
logically, that would not sound intelligent. That wouldn't sound right. And now, what if your older brother was born after you were born? And what if your oldest sister was born, 10 years after all the kids were done coming, you know?
After her child.
Yeah, after your child, yeah. You see, these things are humorous, these things are funny, but it just goes to show if we were to seek out the logic on each of these things, we could do it. We could seek it out and we could do it. Because there is no need for logic, but we could make logic. Now, has your dad ever serviced a sperm bank? Not that you know of, and you doubt that he would really want to because he felt he had the best kids in the world and no sense, making any more. And same with your mom. She's perfectly happy with her family the way it is. So, why would you be born after your father had died? And your father isn't even dead yet, is he? No, he's quite alive and quite happy. So, it doesn't fit. It doesn't belong. But if life is a film, and you can splice it, take out clips of it here and there, and put the clip where your father is doing his thing later on, and put the later on clip in the earlier part, you'd say that doesn't quite make sense. But if it were happening, it makes sense. If you were actually experiencing your father being dying before you're born, and then your father living in the middle of your life, and at the end of your life, what would you do? You'd be without your father, right? Now, that's not illogical, because many times the father is missing at the end of the life, But to have him missing at the beginning of the life, that'd be interesting. So, what am I trying to say by this? I'm saying all time is now. And wherever we put our focus, that's where we put our experience. And if we're going to focus on being successful, we'll be successful. If we're going to focus on being a failure, we'll be a failure. It doesn't matter. You see, somewhere on our roll of film, which is, so to speak, our life, we can clip out little clips. Now, what would happen if you clipped out one little clip, and it was a clip where you were just on top of the world, and then you played it again and again and again throughout your entire lifetime, having you be on top of the world? Where would any of the rest of the clips belong? They wouldn't belong at all. You'd be on top of the world all the time. And you'd be on top of the world because of your attitude. Because theoretically, what you're doing is you're replaying the same clip over and over and over again. I like the Golden Voyage. I can put the Golden Voyage on my computer and I can have it play, repeat continuously forever if I wish. And I hear the beginning again and again, and as soon as I hear the ending, I hear the beginning again, and I hear the beginning again and the end, and I hear the middle, and I hear the middle and the beginning and the end. And it's quite interesting, quite interesting. And you say, well, what's that got to do with beans? Well, what it has to do is that there is no time. There is no space. There is only the now. And the now is whatever we experience right now. So How I spend my time is more important than how I spend my money. Money mistakes I can correct, but time is lost forever. I've just taken a point of time is lost forever as our lead for our thought and thinking today. But consider that once. Consider what the society means by time is lost forever. Time is never lost. It cannot be lost. Time is never there. There is no time. Space is never lost, and space is never there. Space is just and is also. Now, if space is just and is, and time is just and is, where then does this movement come from? You know, where does the days of the week come from, and the hours of the day, and the minutes of the hours, and stuff like that, and the seconds of the minutes? Where does that come from? Where does that come from? What? How do I play that out in my life? Well, as one gigantic illusion. You think it's there, and so forth, therefore it's there. You believe it's there, and therefore it's there. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus said those words, but do we believe them?
Yeah.
If we believe them, we'd be masters. If we don't believe them, then we don't believe we're masters. Now, what benefit would it be to be a master? What benefit would be is that we're always using the principle for our own benefit. We're always using the principle for our joy. We're always using the principle for our wonderment. Now, it was kind of charming to think for a few moments of moving the film strip around from the beginning to the end and the end to the beginning and the middle scattering it here and there. It'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Have you ever experienced deja vu?
Yes.
Have you ever experienced something that was totally out of sync? You were thinking of something and all of a sudden, bang! A slide flashed in front of your eyes and you didn't really get a good glimpse of it, but you knew it wasn't supposed to be there. It was out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were tuned in on another dimension for just a second there. In your dreams, you're tuned in for more than 1 second. And you're tuned into this other dimension, and you think that that's so interesting. But if you really thought it was interesting, you would tune yourself in to being universal. But of course, if you're universal, you cannot be particular. And if you're particular, you cannot be universal. So, if you're universal, you don't get to enjoy any of the knowing that this is here and that's there. Follow me?
Mm-hmm.
If you are particular, you know only a little area, and you don't know the allness. So, which is your pleasure? You want to know the little area? You want to be the human? You want to be the particular person? Or do you want to be the universal person that knows everything? And you see, there's a difference between knowing and being. You can be one thing, but you can know all things. So you can know what it is like to be living in this human body. You know it. But are you it? Is your beingness in this human body? It seems like it is, you know. But is it really in this human body? Is your beingness really in this human body? And of course the answer is, your being is everywhere. Not just in this body, but in everything. In the allness. Well, if our being is in the allness, why don't we know more about the allness? Because we haven't chosen to. Every time you are driving in your car, and it has, you know, covered windows in it, you cannot look out, you stop. And if you don't get out and look around, you won't know where you are. So long as you stay in your car with the windows covered, you don't know where you are. But the moment you step out of that door and you're in Campo, California, then you're not in Chicago or New York or San Diego or Los Angeles. And you respond to whatever it is. You're in, say, Las Cruces, New Mexico, you know? And this lovely little town, you're there, and you step out of the car, and boom, what hits you?
Heat.
Heat. boom, heat out of your nice air-conditioned car. You didn't even know that it was hot outside. And so at first, you're just overwhelmed by the heat. You don't see anything. Then you look around, and you see a lot of Indian people. You see a lot of other people. You see a lot of people who are dressed normal, and a lot of people who are dressed in Western gear. And then you go into a store, and in the store, they have certain things that are indigenous to a desert country, and that's what they sell in that store, plus other things. But they sell a lot of things that are just local to that store. And you say, oh, yeah. And now, you haven't met anybody yet. But you say to the storekeeper, hello, how are you today? Storekeeper says, huh? And you say, isn't it a wonderful day? Oh, yeah. And you think to yourself, what have I got, an idiot here? But what do you have? What have you created there? What did you create in that store? Did you create a dud? Or did you create a real human being with a lot of magic and mystery about him? Yeah? And a woman drops her handkerchief right in front of you. Yeah. And so you reach down, pick up the handkerchief. And you give it to her. She says, I don't want that dirty old thing. And you think to yourself, okay, ma'am. Yeah. You thought many, many, many things. You thought, ah, she's interested in me. Ah, if I pick it up, we may have a chance for a date. Yeah, if we have a date, where are we going to go? Maybe there's a nice restaurant around here. Ah, yes, nice restaurant. I could have my lunch now, earlier, and check out the restaurant. And, you know, all this goes through your mind when she drops her handkerchief. And you don't realize that she was holding on to everything, and her handkerchief just fell out of her hand. It's not that she dropped it. But you felt she dropped it because you wanted to meet some people there, you see? Now, the story goes on and on and on. But it's up to you whether you are going to be in that car and be the allness, or step out of the car and be the finiteness, be the individuality, be that one person who is responding to other one persons, one at a time. We live quite an interesting life. And we think that how I spend my time is more important than how I spend my money. No. How I spend my time doesn't matter at all. Because all time is now. And whatever I do, I'm spending my time. Whatever I do, whether I'm walking meditatively or not, whether I'm driving the Jeep or the car or whatever I'm driving, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. The only thing that matters is the phrase that we use ourselves. And what is that?
Be myself and have fun.
Be yourself and have fun. If you are being yourself and having fun, it does not matter what you do with your time.
You eat cookies all day long.
Do you know these people who are living in the country? Living in the country? And they go to town, and the men sit around the pot-bellied stove in the country store, telling stories and smoking and drinking and yakking away. How can they do that? They're supposed to be out working. They're supposed to be making a living for their family. They're supposed to be doing this. And they just do that day after day after day. And they've always got food on the table. They've always got everything they want because that's what they created. You see, we judge other people and time. We judge the world as to how the time is to be spent and used. And it's not to be spent that way. Time is to be spent only however it delights you to spend it. And the money? Yeah?
The same.
The money is to be spent however it delights you to spend it. And wherever that money is, there's more coming directly after it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but time is lost forever. Money mistakes I can correct. Now, let me make you another statement here before we close. You cannot make a mistake with money. You cannot make a mistake with money. For however you spend the money is how you chose to spend it. And that's okay. but you can never make a mistake. The minute you say you make a mistake with money, what you're doing is you're saying that your judgment, your divine expression of all that's good that's within you, is out of whack for a moment. And is it ever out of whack? Mm-hmm. Never. You never make a mistake. Sometimes these little statements are little statements that challenge us. Not because they're seemingly not true, but because they are not true. They seem to be so logical and so reasonable, but they're not true. So we release them, and we go on to what is ever is for our highest and best. You have a lovely day now.
Thanks, Basula.
And go and spend your time and money however you wish. But when you come home at the end of the day, I want you to have all of your time gone and all of your money gone. And be ready for the now. Right. Once again, every day. I love you. I love you. I love you.